I was asked to speak about the topic of when am I ready? So I look around and I see that it's a mixture of Shana Bet guys, a couple Shana Dalet guys, which in and of itself is very interesting to figure out why we do this series specifically now when the question is, are people actually ready or not? As an introduction, I knew a Sem girl who went to buy a sefer to work on her midos. Now, in theory, that shouldn't be the introduction because guys should also go to buy a sefer to work on their midos also, but this is the true story. And she saw a book that she thought said "V'ahavta l'recha kamocha." She's like, oh, that's a good one. And it ended up being a sefer by Rav Avinair actually saying "V'ahavta l'rayotech kamocha," which is the concept of how to love your husband and how to treat your husband. Now, the truth is there are two very important points in the story. So number one is that girls by nature and nurture are working on "V'ahavta l'rayotech kamocha," and very much so that it's intertwined with the "V'ahavta l'rayotech." That I always tell guys that, how do you know that I teach guys and girls? I don't know if you know that, but I said there's two fundamental differences between teaching guys and girls. Tell me what's the chilukim and make it appropriate. It's being typed, right? The first chiluk is at the end of a shir. Girls say thank you. Guys don't, but girls say thank you. Okay. What's the second chiluk? The second chiluk is when you invite them to your house. So when you invite them to your house at the end of the meal, so if they clean up, if you're kofen osoachi or marotzani, the guy is to actually help clean up. But at the end of the meal, what happens is for a guy, either they're eating, they're learning, depending on how stark they are. And the girls, obviously, the difference in the seminaries of how much they eat and, different times of the years. And, there's all hakiras back and forth. But at the end of the meal, basically, it's baduk that they go into their rooms and they hibernate. And what do they discuss? This is what I liked about what the father did with the husband. This is what I want from my husband. I really didn't like how they said that. I went into smicha thinking I'm going to teach people Torah, and all of a sudden these girls are going into my mamad and discussing how I didn't do this to my wife and said this to my wife. The stories, which is just not hyperbole, is actually true. After many years, really, I think brings up two major points. Point number one is the concept of that from day one, girls are getting all these Barbies and thinking about how I'm going to get married, what exactly type of dress I'm going to have. And guys right now here are thinking about Hadar Gula, and they're thinking about Cholent, and they're not thinking, some of them might be thinking, maybe I'm in Yeshiva Hakotel. Some people might be thinking, but so I think the question, and point number two comes, that the real test of "V'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha" actually comes with your spouse. And I guess what I like to do is a couple of points. The halachic part of when am I ready, in the series, I think it's Rav Heller who talks about the actual halachic point of the age groups, of whether it's 24 or 28, 18, Rav Heller, I'll leave to that. But point number one is going to be "V'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha." And the first question you have to ask is, do you know who you are? To be able to be married to somebody, you have to know who you are. And that's the kamocha. You have to know who you are. And this is on many levels. The first question is religiously. Do you know what your core values are? And therefore the question, when am I ready, is actually a very subjective question. I would actually say objectively, besides the Shana Dalet guys, which is a different story, 99% of Shana Bet guys are actually not ready. You're in the middle of concretizing those values within you. You're further developing the Torah muscle inside of you. But when you leave yeshiva, that's when you start understanding, I say I want this from a girl, I want this, and I want this for my Torah. But a lot of times the test actually comes once you've left yeshiva. As I said, if you're not ready now, at least in my opinion, so why are we teaching it now? I think the answer is because the yeshiva understands that we are exposed to a lot of other models of what marriage and dating is. Many of us think that that's the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Hollywood teaches us exactly how relationships are supposed to be. So, for example, I've seen many movies, Schatai ani maskir hayom, and therefore, woman gets upset, and then what do? Then obviously, it's like to be continued, right? You know, or in the next scene, what happens? You go buy a lot of flowers, right? You come and give the flowers, and everything's okay, and you know, the rest of the part will keep it clean here, you know, G+. But everyone said, yeah, that's just what happens. Pasha, that's how relationships work. Rav Goldwicht is very fond of telling people that, you know, in Shana Rishona, to have people buy flowers for their wife. Nice. I remember buying flowers for my wife. And my wife was like, what are you spending so much money on the flowers? Meaning like, oh my goodness. You know, but my Rebbe told me that I have to buy flowers for my wife. I bought flowers for my wife. What's the problem? There's a mashkiach that I learned when I was teaching how to madrich chatanim that said every single day, kafe bamita. You have to give, you know, in the morning, wake up, make sure you give her a good coffee when she first wakes up. So 3 weeks after they got married, the mashkiach went to, he saw the guy, he knew, how's marriage? Chaim, how's marriage? Ugh, krechsa. Just got married. You know what I'm saying? You should be in a high. What do you mean? What are you crachsing for? So he says, I don't understand, Chaim. Didn't you listen to my advice to you? Every morning, kafe bamita. He said, my wife doesn't drink coffee. And part of the message is that there's no one objective way to be able to say, okay, I'm ready. And therefore, this is how I'm going to be able to make sure that my marriage works. And one of the things that I think this series does is to start correcting some misconceptions that we learn from Hollywood. One of the story from Hollywood, and then we'll do a little more of these sources. There's a lot of the Sur Me Rava Seitov on a certain level. I remember having my first child, who's now 10 years old, Chagai. And I remember people who know me, you know, I was a good coach. Still a good coach in my head for those people. Even though Saja thinks that he's the coach, but I try to like not step on his toes. So we're in the birthing room. Not getting too graphic, don't worry. And it's not like where it's in America where you have your private doctor. You could have a private doctor, but there's a thing in Israel called a midwife. You know, they rock. They're amazing. They like, you know, they help out. So it's all good. So I'm there. And you take your Lamaze classes, that's actually true. You even do that, you know, in the real life. And there's a thing called a feather, which is you go, which, you know, helps you, you know, so as the coach, you have to go, come on. And I was really good at it, you know. I'm like, I'm really good, you know. So towards the beginning, so as the classes, as it kept going, so I'm there the whole time. I'm like, you go, Leah, you know, like totally, like, you're amazing, you go, you know, breathe. We're like rocking. I'm telling you, I was the best coach. I'm telling you, like, sign me up. It's all true. And then you get towards the end. Towards the end, it's where we've all seen that in the movies. What happens in the movies? You go, hey! Right? You do like a pop on these, hey! You know, a couple, three of these, and then you hear what? Mazel tov, right? So at that point, you become useless. You don't do that, hey! You just like, at that point, you just go to the side and you feel like a total useless. You know, you're useless. You're just on the side. You know, you say it to Helam at that point. You know, what are you doing? So you're no longer a good coach at that point. So, but the point is, so my wife started doing a couple of he's and hoes, right? And I went to the midwife, and both my wife and I were saying to the midwife, you know, like, how much longer? You know, it had been like 5-10 minutes. You know, in the movies, how long does it take? A couple of he's, a couple of hoes. Mazel tov, let's go. Shalom zachar. You know, they're all good, right? But the midwife goes, it could take over an hour and a half. We're like, oh my goodness! You know what I'm saying? That's what the klala was in the Sefer Bereishis, right? It's like unbelievable. So part of what we have to understand of being ready is to understand what exactly is v'haftal rech kamocha. What does it really mean? Well, so the first question we had said about knowing yourself is the religious values. And here the Gemara asked the question in the Daf Chavtes Mabez that says, which one is supposed to be first? Fourth source in front of you. Lilmo Torah v'lisa isha. Should you first lilmo Torah v'achar isa isha? Or the other way. And the Gemara brings down a machlokas, and it says, Amar Vidam Shmuel, halacha, no se isha v'achar yilmo Torah. First, in the name of Shmuel, it says, first you should get married, then learn Torah. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rechayim b'tzavaro v'yasak b'torah. How am I supposed to be involved in Torah if I have parnasa on my shoulders? The Gemara says, lo pli halon v'haluhu. Now, even within the question, before we get to the answer, the question assumes that you're really grappling with the question of Torah. And I think that needs to be developed, where many of us have at least heard or seen that we have a thing called a shopping list. This is what I want for my wife. She has to be this, 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 she has to be this. Okay? And then you get into the ridiculous things about the shopping list, is that she's going to make sure to have a white tablecloth and not a gold tablecloth, you know, all that. But we all have our shopping lists. And one of the people who's a Sharchanit that I speak to in the modern Orthodox world, I'm talking about religious Zionist world, not just I'm a Sharchanit, I'm not talking about in the Haredi world, she says, very well, she says, you're not marrying a shopping list. Right? She tells her potential chatanim, you'll be lucky to get what you need. It's not what this list. The question is, what do you need? What do you need? And that's, if you don't know who you are, then you're not ready. So for example, when it comes to both on a religious level, but also on an emotional level, this is what Dr. Polkovitz says in many of his lectures. He quotes the pasuk in the first source in front of you. Mishlei Perek Yud Bet. It says, "Da'aga b'lev ish yashchena v'davar tov yisamchena." The Gemara in Yuma and I in Heyman Aleph says the two ways to understand "da'aga b'lev ish yashchena." Ravami Ravasi, Chad Amar yashchena midato, v'Chad Amar yisichena la'achirim. There are two ways to deal when people are having problems. You either are a person who likes to discuss it with people, yasichena la'achirim, and if that's the way that you work at it, you might have a good chance already working with girls who want you to share things. And then there's another type, which is what? Yashchena midaito. Right? Some people are introverted and don't like talking it out. They want to keep it themselves. So the question comes on one level is, are you aware of your tendencies? And you're aware of how you work through your frustrations? Like that persona, are you? And this comes before we say about sharing with others. This is the example which I say in the first day in my shir, which is what I believe as the constitution for any Eved Hashem, is the Vilna Gaon that says that to be a full person, you have the Ben Adam Makom, Ben Adam Chavero, but you have to be Ben Adam Atzma. You have to know yourself. If you don't know yourself and think that getting married is the general panacea, that, oh, I'm really depressed, but I'm going to get married and everyone's going to dance at my wedding, and everything's going to be happy, we're going to get a lot of pictures, a lot of gifts, and everything, Mazel Tov, everything's going to be good, we'll get, now it's very, you know, they have all these pictures at the wedding, it's all great. It's not the way it works. So the truth is, Talmud of mine, Ben F. Katz, once told me that if you don't know yourself, then even your Ben Adam Lamakum, you're actually only serving somebody else's God, maybe not your own, you're not even your own, because you have to know yourself. And the sikkum of that point is knowing yourself on two levels. Number one, on a religious level, are you really holding where you say you're holding? Now there is a point of always looking to shoot up a little bit to be able to make sure that the girl is maybe a little more religious than you are. There is something to that to help push you 100%. But at the same time, we're talking about knowing your own relationships, knowing yourself to be able to have that relationship. I think the second point comes, which is into Tzalam where you think you're ready. And, excuse me, that you know who you are. You know who you are. Point number two is, which there are people who know themselves. Point number two is, are you willing to alter that approach when you're in a relationship? It's a very, very important nekuda, which means that I have my way. I mean, I know myself. This is how I deal with things. Are you willing to alter it and saying what you think is right might have been right for you, but for somebody else, it's totally not right for them. And now you're living with somebody. And you have to figure out how you're going to compromise. Now let's define what this word compromise means. You know what people think? What is compromise? Compromise, what people think, it means what? What's the verb in compromise? Compromise is as follows. But omic, what most guys think what compromise is what? I'm right. But I have to, like, you know, I'm in a relationship. So what do you have to do? I'll throw her a bone, or throw him a bone. You know what I'm saying? When I'm talking about chavrusa. Yeah, I'll listen to your svara, but it's pashut, like, ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Are you really open at all? So that's compromise one, which is not the compromise you need when you're talking about in a relationship. The issue comes, and it comes back to the shopping list also, is you're dealing not with an object. But you're dealing with another person. And that's hard for some guys to actually focus on. Which means that, what do you mean? I have to do this. I'm stark. I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing it. I need to find somebody who's going to just encourage me to do that. Now that's just basically viewing this other entity as an object, and she'll push me. She's like a ball. She'll push me to go to make sure that I get to the finish line because it's about me. Now, the real reality is that it's not all about you. It's all, you know, when it stops being all about you at the Ufruf. The Ufruf is the best day in a man's life because it's all about you. You know, you have all your friends going, just giving you, like, your living eulogy. You're the best. You're amazing. It's good. Which the joke part is that you have your friends actually telling, your single friends telling you how to, like, live a married life. That's the funny part. This is what you should do, and, like, you're never, ever married. That part is always hilarious. but the truth is, when you're dealing with a relationship, you have two independent people trying to come together, and you ask anybody, the most difficult part of Shana Rishona is how do I become interdependent? I've been so independent, and that person is independent. Now, all of a sudden, how am I going to learn how to respect that there might be another vantage point, might be another mabat, another perspective on any number one of many myriad of issues? For example, one of the three things that people always fight about is money. So I'll give you an example from my marriage. My wife's an accountant. I'm not an accountant. And therefore, how did it work? So my wife had a way. She's very accountant, very, very misudar, has a budget for herself. You know, very clear. I didn't work with budgets growing up. In my head, it was my budget, which was basically, I was independent already when I was 16 years old. And I had a very, very clear budget how it worked. Is I make X amount of money, I spend X amount of money. If I need to spend more money, I have to make more money. It was very simple. It worked for me. If I make $5,000, so I'll spend the $5,000. If I want to spend six, I better go find another job to be able to make sure $6,000. So for example, when I got a parking ticket, so my wife's like, okay, so you can't spend now that $150 because you just got a parking ticket. I'm like, that's not the way it works. What works is I just have to go, you know, make another $300, and the parking ticket, it's not a knas. You know, there's no punishment over here. It just doesn't work that way. And then what happened was, as I got married, you know, as I had kids, my budget doesn't work anymore because there's diapers and all those things, and I just can't continue working and also being, you know, I start off saying I'm in chinuch, right? And it just doesn't work that way. So that's just one example of knowing that even though my perspective, for me it worked, but as you get older and as things change and as you open up yourself to somebody else, there is a totally new experience that has to be respected. And this, I always say, when it comes to the challenge, that's the challenge of number one, letting another person in, having the respect. The compromise is not just stop throwing a bone at somebody and saying, okay, you're right this time. But it's actually, I would have swore at it that the way I did it was correct. But now there's actually a different perspective that actually can have emes also. You know, a little bit of Elu Velu, Divrei Elokim Chaim, and respecting that, okay, we're going to go with your way. I'll give you another story. That on Fridays, you know, I think I'm a pretty serious person. So on Fridays, a lot of time, I'll stay up late Thursday night. At your age, I'll stay up late Thursday night to 1, you know, get 1 hour of sleep, pound away, vasikin, go play football, get the second wind after the rabbi he spoke, so I fell asleep, and then, you know, keep going away, all good. Now, as he kept going, I'm married, so Friday's also a pound away, typing up my shiur and whatever it is, but, you know, you want to have guests. Hachanas is orch. Very important. So how's that going to work? How's that hachanas orch going to work? Is it just that my wife's going to do everything? That's option A. Option B is cleaning lady, but then that takes money also. Or option C is that you go like the Amoraim and you also have to clean up. And you also, you want to have hachanas orch, you actually have to work for it also. But then, one second, but what am I going to do with my learning? So how does this work? So, okay, you can learn, you know, but then we have two different models again. What's model? Model one is my wife's model, which is first clean up everything to the way I like it, you know, to that standard, which obviously her standard is much different than my standard, okay? But, and then you can go learn. Okay, my model was totally different. What was my model? First of all, we have different standards. And second of all, my model was, let's finish writing up my shiur. Then we have what's called crunch time. Right? Then you have the last, you know, hour and a half, boom, focused. Right? You're in a zone. It's the cleanup zone. So these are two opposite models that it's like Monday night football. They just, it doesn't work. You know, and she's got a good model. And I have a good model. Because for me it worked. Why does it work? Because I didn't have to clean the bath and do all of those things. Because I was a single guy and didn't really care how the bathroom looked so much. Because I was a single guy. The main thing at that point was making sure I finished Rashi and Ramban and went over the Gemara. Right? Now all of a sudden you're a Hachnasas Orchim. And you have to take upon what your wife cares about. And actually care that the bathroom is full of urine and people are coming, and these are the things that you have to, you know, care how this looks. So what do you do? So we kind of made a compromise after 11 years of marriage. You know, I'm serious. After that when there are guests, I'll go with her model. You know, when there are no guests, then my model works. So we have to figure that's the difference in figuring that out, which is, it's not easy because I'm pig-headed and I know my model is right. And all of a sudden, you have to learn how to listen to other people, and hopefully, it shouldn't take you 11 years. The challenge, as I said, comes on these two extremes. On one extreme, is many people who are too young have not really thought about the real you, and the people who are too old, they're so into their career and other life circumstances that you're so set in your ways that it's much difficult to change it all, to be able to open up yourself that way. So there's a right age to be able, hopefully, you know, I'm not talking about 14 and I'm not talking about 27, 28. You know, again, obviously things aren't black and white and it's not a science here. One of my friends who's the head of a school in America gave a nice Rosh Tevos, which I think are very good, it's very good advice when it comes to are you ready or what you need in a relationship. And it's called CRAFT. What's CRAFT stand for? Number one is communication. Two is respect. A is attraction. F is friendship. T is trust. That's what you have in a relationship. And the first example we have of the craft is being able to know how to communicate with each other. And again, part of it is not back to my shopping list, but I'm marrying a woman, not that she'll watch the kids and I'll continue with my goals. So she's not an object, but she has aspirations. I hope you're marrying somebody who has aspirations, and then you have to figure out what's going on. You know. So yesterday, I have 13 guys over for Shabbos. Okay. I'm in the middle of trying to figure out how to learn with my kids, learn with the guys, make sure things are clean, then continue learning with the guys. But my wife is going to a shiur at 1:30. And then, but my young baby is also sleeping at that point. So that means she comes back at 2:30. She hasn't taken a nap yet. But I want her to be learning Torah also. But also, I'm exhausted because I've been doing it also. All these things is discussions of figuring out. Because it's not only me, myself, and I, but it's actually a relationship between you and your wife. The next part comes at the assumption that a lot of people think is, when do you have to be ready? I have to be perfect. So some perfectionist in the room right here now. The relationships people aren't perfect. You're not perfect. Now, there are certain core values that are important to know that when you have a relationship that you shouldn't be making. I'll give you a couple examples. One of the first rookie mistakes that happen is when you go out with a girl and then you don't walk her back to the house and make sure that she gets in. You know, that's a big no-no. You have to make sure that, you know, that's part of the menschlichkeit. There was a guy dating and had a conversation on Facebook about dating. This was even before Facebook had instant messenger or whatever it is. This was like the old time Facebook, if you remember what that means. That in the middle of dating, he sent like a Facebook message. So a guy said, the guy wrote down, "I just made a schoolboy error. I ordered before the girl." And another person responded back to him, "You made another schoolboy error by being on Facebook about being out with the girl." Now the truth is, if you ever go out on a date or you go out with a friend and you ever notice what's going on, if you go sit in a cafe, whatever it is, you'll notice that most people are not talking to each other anymore. They're just like on their phone. Like, it's pretty unbelievable. So you don't have to be perfect. You have to learn how to communicate. And within that, not only be perfect, that's an important yesod that Rav Willig said it at a Sheva Brachos of Rav Avram Nisano Willig, a Rav in Leva Torah at a Sheva Brachos probably 15 years ago. Based on the next source in front of you in Parshas Tazria Metzora here, where it says, if I'm not mistaken, it's Tazria, that says, Uviyom heiraot bo basar chayitma. And Rashi here says, Ma tamal omar, lelamed yesh bo yom shata roebo v'yesh yom sheina taroebo. There are times that you can come go see the Kohen and sometimes not. Explains here Chazal Yesod, Mikan amru chatan no nim lo kol shivat yimei mishteh. Lo uleksuto lo beito. V'chim beregel no nim lo kol yimei regel. Rav Willig pointed out that the essence of love is not that each person is perfect and it's all googly-eyed and she's perfect and I'm perfect. Dafka fuch. Where do we learn the halacha of Sheva Brachos, the din of chatan, of being able that there are times that the Kohen doesn't look at it in order not to mar the simcha, specifically dealing with the din of tzaras. When you're able to marry somebody, it's not because you're perfect or that other person's perfect, but you accept the person as they are. Again, there's the balance of each person trying to help each other out, 100%. But there will never ever be a time when you're ready to say, okay, I think I found somebody and I'm going to change her. She's now going to be exactly what I want her to be. I'm going to mold her like clay. All right? Doesn't work. Because part of what Rav Willig was saying is that to marry somebody, you have to know that they have faults and you love them despite the faults, just like the kamocha. Kamocha, you have faults also. It's always easy to point the fingers outside. Everyone has it. Okay, obviously we're all working to improve ourselves constantly. This is what we say in the Ksuba that says, Ana Eflach Ve'okir. That literally, in the Ksuba you are mitchayev to be sensitive. To be sensitive, to work it on during marriage. What does it mean to work on it? So it's very easy when you see somebody on the street to say, you're sensitive and be nice. But it's rather, what do we say? It's Torah Chupa U'Masim Tovim. So Rav Gadi always had a vart that said, why do you say Torah Chupa U'Masim Tovim? Why don't you do Masim Tovim now when I'm single? And the answer is, of course you do Masim Tovim. But the essence of your Masim Tovim, you guys get it somewhat in the dorm life. So when you're living with somebody and you don't get the 8 hours of sleep and the baby's crying, and then the question is, how do you deal with that when you have somebody there? Two other examples and then we'll finish off. As I said, it's not as much objective, but there's a lot of subjective. I'd like to add two examples of something subjective. That as much as there's going to be a halacha, but even with halacha, you'll see what Rav Heller says about the age. There are two other, I think, subjective examples about when am I ready. One of them is, where do you live? Right? That you see already in the Machlokus Rishonim, that within Rashi and Tosfos, that the Gemara says, which one is it? Is it Nosi Isha? Or is it first Lomot Torah? The Gemara says, Halon V'Halahu. Where Rashi talks about where you're going to be within Bavon Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and there it's the question of, is the Tzorchi Abayit Mutalim Alecha or not? Okay, that's how Rashi understands it. Which means that there are certain standards, that it could very well be you're coming from a place in America that they're already telling you, the only way you're getting married is if you can self-support yourself. Okay, there's certain cultural verses here in Eretz Yisrael. On a certain level, they're saying to you, okay, you got to figure it out, get married at 21. And you got to figure out, you got to become an avbayis, you got to start working at it. You don't have your full plan. Okay, there are a lot of cultural or filial things that come up there that have a certain fact. As we know, again, you got to be responsible once you get married. And some people say you got to have a college BA. What's the reality? What is your reality? What's your direction? Do you have a plan? Do you not have a plan? So that, as I said, it comes back to, number one, who you are. You know, there are certain people, who are 20, focused on Torah, is a mature, healthy marriage, ready to go. Yetzirah might be knocking you silly, and therefore the Gemara says, Higi Azman. And you have a certain plan, and you have a certain way to start being Mefarnes, and you have Emuna, and that's some people. Other people, but then it comes back to the other issue, which is, a lot of those times it doesn't work without parents supporting. Now, do your parents have a PhD? What is PhD? Papa has dough, right? It's not so simple. It's not so simple that you like that PhD. It's not so simple about the PhD. Are you comfortable with that arrangement? It's not so clear. Each individual, as I said, subjective. Some people within their realm, they're totally fine with that. That's built in. The parents want that. They want that. You go, you get married at 21, go learn in Kola for a year or two while we support you. And they're both happy with that. No, and even though there's strings attached, some people are very happy with that. Okay, there's no one right thing to say. That's ridiculous that the parents are doing that. Okay, it could be in your world, in your Weltanschauung, it might be ridiculous. 100%. Other people would say that maybe that's not for me, that having the parents come and supporting me, because then they're going to be, it's not healthy in the relationship. Then they're going to be dictating, since I'm supporting you, you better come for this Pesach and this Shabbos and these type of things. And not so simple. So as I said, there is certain, definitely, a lot of it is very subjective. And that's really knowing you. And are you willing, as I said, to know yourself on a religious level, on an emotional level, where you come from? Are you willing to alter? One of the bigger pieces, and I'll conclude with this, is you actually, within that emotional level, you also feel the need to be sharing with somebody else. Not the need because the only way you're happy is if somebody gives you that idur and chizuk, but because you feel that you know yourself, you feel that you're good, and you're at that point of life where you're ready to share it with somebody else. At that point, hopefully within the responsibility that you have, hopefully with a lot of siyata d'shmaya, we should all develop in making ourselves more ready to have the muscles of Torah in your shemayim and know how to make a kiddushim shemayim. Because I would have to say, since the series has begun, is even more crucial. More crucial because I think nowadays it's because of the difficulty and the complexity in our society, it's that much more important to know that you're ready and not to push it off. At the same time, not to jump into it without really understanding the different ramifications. Everyone should have a good day. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm